thing to do when I grew up. My dad would give me that look and then answer for me, "Andy hasn't decided yet." Needless to say, the rock star thing didn't work out. If country music had been as big in the 70s as it is now, I might have had a chance. And honestly, sometimes when I play that old six string, I think about you, wonder what went wrong. Yeah, let's move on. Once I accepted the fact that I didn't have the chops for the music biz, I was forced to come up with another get-rich career scheme. And that's when it hit me. The ministry. I'll be a pastor. After all, pastors have lots of money. Now, while that may be true to a limited extent today, back then, I had never heard of a rich preacher. As you probably know, my dad is a pastor. My parents never owned their own home until I was in middle school. Before that, we lived in a parsonage, a house that a church purchased for the pastor and his family to use. It came with the job, was just part of the package. Kind of like being the president of the United States, except we had to mow the lawn. And unlike the first family, we had to get permission to redecorate or repaint or re-anything. After all, it wasn't our house. It was the people's house, as in church people. And church people can be particular about what you do with their house. And that's understandable. In those days, pastors didn't stay more than 3 or 4 years. So there was no point in making a lot of expensive changes for someone who wasn't going to be around that long. All that to say, the notion of getting rich by way of pastoring never dawned on me. As I said, I'd never met a rich preacher. And we certainly weren't rich. Not the kind of rich I was dreaming of, anyway. We always had enough. But rich is about having more than enough. We had what we needed. But rich is about having more than you need. Rich is about having extra, isn't it? When I was in fifth grade, we lived in a small town in Florida where my dad was the pastor of the First Baptist Church. The parsonage was located in a typical small town, middle class neighborhood. Not upper middle class, just middle class. One afternoon, my dad asked me to ride with him when we took our housekeeper home. Yes, we had a housekeeper. Back then, we referred to her as our maid. And she was fine with that. Actually, she was proud of that. She was the preacher's maid, and she made sure all her maid friends knew about it. Normally, she drove, but on this particular afternoon, her car was in the shop, so we drove her home. Turns out, I had never been to that particular part of our small town. The houses were small, the yards were mostly dirt, and there was junk everywhere. I still remember feeling uncomfortable. When we got to her house, she invited us in. I remember thinking, I don't want to go in there. For whatever reason, we didn't. When we got back home, our house looked large by comparison. Our yard looked manicured by comparison. Even our car felt fine in comparison to what I saw in our maid's neighborhood. It was while we were living in that same house that a friend from church came over to play. His name was Bruce. I can still remember Bruce standing in our kitchen, looking around and saying, "Andy, your house is so big. Are you rich?" I was so uncomfortable. Rich? We weren't rich. And our house wasn't big. Our house was normal size. But when we took Bruce home that evening, I understood. By comparison, our house was big. By comparison, I'm sure it looked to Bruce as if we were rich. Heck, by comparison, we were rich. And therein lies the problem, doesn't it? Rich is the other guy. Rich is that other family. Rich isn't just having extra. Rich is having as much extra as the person who has more extra than you do. Rich is having more than you currently have. If that's the case, you can be rich and not know it. You can be rich and not feel it. You can be rich and not act like it. And that is a problem. In fact, that's why I wrote this book. If you purchase this book with your own money, or could have, had you been so inclined, you are much further ahead of the financial game than you might imagine. And if that's hard for you to imagine, no worries. For the next 7 chapters, I'm going to do my best to convince you that you are, in fact, a have rather than a have-not. Better yet, I'm going to use everything in my arsenal of persuasive powers to convince you that you are rich.